Today's scripture reading is from Psalm 32, verse 1. It says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven." Amen. "Whose sin is covered." Amen. We're off to a good start so far today. "Blessed is a man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. And may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Well, I've already told you today we're going to talk about, are you forgiven? And the second part to that is, are you forgiving? And we're going to be in 1 John chapter 1. If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. That's just before the book of Revelation. Actually, Jude is before that, but it's just a few books before Revelation. So if you go to the end and work back towards the front, you'll find it real quick. 1 John is not the first John you come to in the Bible right after the Old Testament. I want to remind you of something I said a while back when I preached, as we prepare to study in 1 John today. And I said, Jesus came into this world as light. But when he came as light, that light was to do what? That light was to reveal our sin to us. So remember that as we read today God's word, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save those that were lost, to be light, but that light was also to shine and draw attention to ourselves of the sin in our lives so that we can understand the need for a Savior. 1 John chapter 1, and John really is addressing yet another church that had yet more false teachers and false teachings, and he wanted to set the record straight. And the New Testament has several different places where they went in, they sent letters, or they came in and visited the churches, and they said, hey, man, these people, they don't quite have it right. I taught this, Jesus taught this, but you guys are doing this, and you're taking it your own direction. And so as he does that, he says in verse 1 of John 1, 1 John 1, he says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full." So he's saying these things, saying, I want your joy to be full. Because you can have fellowship with us. You can have communion with us. And when you do these things, it's really having fellowship with the Father. And he goes on to say in verse 5, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." You see, sin never touched him. It couldn't get near to him. And there is no darkness at all. And when we have fellowship with the Father, and we have fellowship with light, that darkness is more distant from us. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That should have been a bunch of amens from sinners. But when we have fellowship and we come into light with him, he says we have fellowship. And that fellowship could be considered fellowship with other believers. We have fellowship right now. Or it could mean you have fellowship with the Father. You have fellowship with the Father. So let's look at verse 7. It says, when we walk in his light, our sin is revealed, is what that's telling us. And we will want forgiveness. Our sins are removed by his blood. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us. That's us, all of us sinners, from all sin. But let's look a little further in verse 8. Verse 8, and we're going to go through chapter 2, verse 2. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the whole world. Okay, if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to get a pen. There's one in the seat in front of you, if you don't have one. Go to verse 9. First of all, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins. So I want you to underline that first if in chapter in verse 9. If, underline that. And what that if means, that's an action on our part, or a belief on our part. If we do this, or if we don't, but this says, if we confess our sins, says He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I want you to go back and underline also in verse 9, He is. So we've underlined if, right before, if we confess our sins, and then He is, underline that, faithful and just, and then underline two, right before forgive, underline the two after that where it says to cleanse, and then underline the word from, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm reading in the New King James Version, you may have something different. My point is, I want us to underline the word if. That's our part. If we confess our sins, we have an action that we have to do. And then the other words we underline, that's God's promise to us. For if we do this, He is faithful and just. And then what will He do? To forgive. What else will He do? To cleanse. To forgive what? And to cleanse what? Us from all unrighteousness. You see, we want to grab hold of these promises from Jesus Christ, or God Almighty. The Bible has promised this. But have we done our part? Have we done our part? Have we confessed our sin? Maybe we have, maybe we haven't. Look in verse 10. It says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So I want us to underline the word if again, right at the beginning of verse 10. That's our action. If we say. And then I want you to underline the word we make. It's about in the middle of that. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. You see, for this to come through, we have to do our part. If we say this, then here's our other thing. We make. If we deny it, if we lie, we make Him a liar. So it all weighs on us again. It all weighs on us again. And then chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, so let's underline that word if again in the middle of verse 1 in chapter 2. If anyone sins, and then underline we have. Because if we do this action, the promise is that we have an advocate. And then underline the word with right after advocate. We have an advocate. And who do we have that with? We have that with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. It just helps us remind us of what we have to do and then what the promise is or who the promise is with. Our confession and our repentance, hopefully, leads us to repent from our sin. It says, if we sin. And it also says we have to confess. Let me tell you, there's a big difference in saying I'm sorry and confessing. There's a big difference. There's a big difference between confessing and repenting. God, I'm sorry I did that. Yeah, you're just saying, I know you see also, you caught me. But confessing says, man, God, I need to tell you what I did. And I know you already know, but you need to hear it from me. But confessing isn't repenting. God, I've sinned against you again, again, and again. But repenting says, you've done this, and you've done this, but now you're done doing that. Repenting, I'm going to turn away from that sin, and I'm going to walk away from that. I'm going to walk away from that. So just confessing over and over is nowhere near repentance. We have Easter coming. It says, prepare ye the way, and it is finished. You remember what he said, what John the Baptist said when he was walking around going, hey, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He was also walking around saying, repent. You have to repent. And just saying, I'm sorry, isn't the same. And confessing is not the same. But you know, I can remember as one of five children in our family, we did something to the other one or they did something to us. It was always, here come the parents. And what do they say? Tell them you're sorry. Sorry or sorry. You know, you get one of those things. It's kind of the same thing here. When we confess begrudgingly, God, I'm sorry. I'm just really confessing because I know you saw it. Because I know you see all. So let me just do my Christian duty and confess. I laid it out there. But you know, the words we speak to one another, the way we treat one another, that reveals an awful lot about where we are. Not just in our spiritual relationship with Christ, but our spiritual state. When we have anger inside of us and bitterness and hurt and resentment and pride, feelings of entitlement. The things we say to one another during those times. And it could be a spouse, a co-worker, a friend, a church member, a church leader. It could be anything. It could be to our children, to our parents. What we say to one another really says where we are in that forgiveness, in that repentance, in that confessing state. Better yet, let me just ignore it and it will go away. Just like small children, perhaps if you ignore them, they will go away. Mom, 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 mom. It just doesn't happen. Sometimes they just don't go away. Well, that little kid that won't go away, guess what? That's your unforgiveness. That's your sin that you haven't confessed. It doesn't go away. You see, denial is not the same. It's confessing. It's really nothing. Ignoring or denying the event or the person, that's not forgiveness. I forgot about it. Big difference between forgetting about it and forgiving it. You can forget about it, but never forgive that person. Likewise, you can forgive someone, but that hurt or that pain may still linger on. And sometimes I think, I'm going to hang on to that. Why do we want to hang on to that?
want to be the judge. I want to make them pay. They've wronged me, and they need to pay and not and know that it's not okay to get away with that. The driver that cuts us off, I must cut him off now and let him know that wasn't right. I don't do that anymore. Very often. But that's a training and a practice that I had to work on. And that was one of my troubles. Because on the roadway, I wanted to make you pay. Oh my gosh, you're just a more ignorant driver than myself. You must pay for that alone. That's what was up here, and we tell ourselves that all the time. Now, in the real world, we have much bigger pains and hurts, and we want to make people pay for it. I don't care if it was a parent from years ago. I don't care if it was a child from long ago or recently or those things. But we want to hang on to that. And sometimes it may be God, long ago, we thought God hurt us and didn't help us. God, I'm going to attend, but you're not getting my everything because I don't feel like you gave me your everything when I needed you most. God, you took my spouse, you took my child, you took my unborn child, you took my living child. God, you took my parents. When I was a little child, I needed you. And God, I was a believer, and I attended faithfully, and I gave, and you hurt me. And I can't pour out to you anymore, God. Because I was hurt the last time I gave it all. Oh, and by the way, last time I poured out to a spouse, they left me. So I'm sorry, spouse, I can't pour out everything to you. Because last time I did, I was hurt. And I'm afraid if I just give everything to you, you'll just take it all and hurt me like the last one did. This is real stuff. This is real stuff we deal with day in and day out. I gave umpteen years to this job and they let me go for no reason? I can't give everything to this job. I'll just do so-so. I'd like to give everything to the church, but the last church I was at hurt me. I'd like to help serve, but man, I've never been appreciated by the staff. We want revenge. I think that's why we hang on to it. If not, I don't know. We've got it clenched up so tight here, and we just can't let it go. Man, I'm shaking it loose, but it just won't come undone. It won't fall out of my hand. I think we've talked about this before. Sit there for 2 minutes and do this around your two fingers for 2 minutes. And then try to open your hand. You're like, I can't do it. Okay, time it. 2 minutes from now, I'll see people looking at their hand. But we get that way. And we become crippled, so to speak, with that hurt and that pain. Because we just can't let it go. The hurt was deep. Can't let them get away with this. Revelation tells us to be overcomers. We read that a few weeks ago. We did a series. He makes all things new. That means your past. He makes new. Let me pull this out and just refresh my memory. Yeah, we sang this today. I have a plan for you. It's going to be wild. It's going to be great. And it's going to be full of me. It's going to be full of Him. And that means in the middle of your hurt, it will still be full of Him. come away with me.
Sounds pretty simple. It's never too late. Ask the thief on the cross, hanging next to Jesus Christ in their final moments of life. It's never too late. And it's not too late for you. And it's not too late for me. Open up your heart and let me in. Jesus is pleading with us. Open up your heart. Take that hardened heart, open it up, massage that, and let me in. He's begging some of you. Please, please let me in. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 tells us it's okay to be angry. It doesn't really say go out and be angry, but it says it's okay. Ephesians 4, verse 26. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil anymore. And I know that is so much easier said than done for people that struggle with different things. Because I have never been addicted to anything that I'm aware of. Pointed out to me after service if I have. But I haven't been addicted to drugs or alcohol or gambling or whatever there is out there. You see, I was never abused. My parents were not divorced. I did not have step-parents. I haven't lost a spouse. And I haven't lost a child. And so I can't say, just do it. Just stand here and give it up. It's okay. I can, but I don't want you guys to think that I don't get it. And I get that it's difficult. But what I'm telling you is this fellowship, this body of believers, loves you and cares about you. And they want to help you through that. And they want to be here for you. And sometimes, just like me, I don't know how to be here for you, but I want to be here for you. You want to call me in the middle of the night? Call me in the middle of the night. Call the home phone. That cell phone's the other end of the house. And by the way, let me just say that. We have my cell phone in the bulletin, but I have a home phone also. Yeah, we still have one of those. And if I don't answer the cell phone, call my home phone. I'm usually home, cell phone, or at work. And if you want to call Bob Mills Furniture and ask for me, go ahead. But we want to be here for every one of you. And we want to help you. We just don't always know how. A little further down in Ephesians 4, verse 31. Well, let's just go to verse 30, because I think that's pretty important too. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. But verse 32 says, and be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. Don't take offense over here. I'm scouring for young people and I see a group here and here. I'm trying to focus my glasses. I see a couple little ones back there. They're still pretty young and they're still pretty safe right now. But you guys. Yeah, Tim, go ahead and move out of the way. But you guys. It gets harder and harder for some of you and some people your age to be kind to one another. Because it's much cooler if we insult people. And if we call them names. But I want to tell you, I'm proud of these young people that are part of Ground Zero and Prayer of Faith. I saw your posting on Facebook.
Oh my gosh, church is canceled. Yeah, I saw it. I'm going to die without church. That's a pretty powerful statement, young lady. And I appreciate that. And that's what we need, and that's what we want from our young people and our older folks. What do you mean we're missing another week of church? We didn't meet Sunday. We didn't meet Wednesday. I'm going to die. Great news. You're not going to die. And if you do, you're going to die with Jesus Christ. So amen. But be kind to one another. Be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And you may not be forgiven simply because you haven't confessed yet. Romans 12 says, gives all kinds of advice and direction to live as a Christian, including repay no one evil for evil. That grip we have on our past. Go to Romans 12. Near the end. I'm sorry, I meant in general, not right now. I don't have the... You can if you want. Repay no one evil for evil. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. 2 weeks ago, Jason Whitlock came and spoke to you guys. I wasn't here, but I listened to his message with great interest. And I listened to it again and again. And he has a very interesting way of conveying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I love that about Jason. And he talked about his injury as a child and the family wanting to call him Stretch and those things. And they said, your sins are forgiven. They said, who is this that even forgives sin? And Jesus responded to the paralytic and said, get up. Take your mat and go home. And Eric, I'll never forget your message about the mat. And we're there too. And you said, get off your mat. You don't have to stay there any longer. Get off your mat. Get off your mat. I want to close with this. In 1 John, let's go back to 1 John chapter 2. And I wasn't planning this, but I'm going to ask our band to return back up to the stage. And we're going to sing that song we sang earlier, the Come Away song. Because I believe it has a powerful statement that just simply says, it's never too late. It's going to be great. Open up your heart and let me in. And as we close today, 1 John chapter 2, I want us to flip back towards the end, verse 21. We're going to read 21, 24, and 25. Verse 21 says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know the truth, and that no lie is of the truth. And in verse 24, he says, therefore, let that abide in you. Let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. See, that which you have heard, that which you know, that which you read, let it abide in you. Let it live in you. Let it dwell in you. If that relies on us. So that's another action word that we have to do our part. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, or if we allow it to abide in us, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father.
And this is the promise that He has promised us. Eternal life. Are you forgiven? Are you forgiving? Have you confessed? Or have you given that unrepentant, sorry. They're making me do it. It's a church thing. I got to say sorry, God. Confessing your sin is not walking up saying, I'm sorry, God. If our prayer partners would come forward right now, I believe today, I just believe we have a great opportunity to pray. And it's not necessarily to come up here and confess all your sins. But we have prayer partners here that are willing and able to hear what you're going through and pray with you and for you. But what I want you to think about are the things that I talked about. Those things maybe we put in a storage box years ago, and we packed up our hurt and our anger and our bitterness and our frustration. But we still hang on to it. Just hang on to it way over here. But it keeps us from enjoying the fullness. In the very beginning, we read that He wrote to them and said, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. And it's the desire of Jesus Christ that your joy may be full in His presence and in fellowship with other believers. I'm going to tell you, you can sit right where you're at. You don't have to stand to sing this song, but I would like for you to sing this song. And if you have a prayer need, come forward and let us pray for you. You can also pray right where you're sitting. Jesus Christ allows that. He allows it right where you're sitting. He allows confession wherever you are. And when you're truly repentant, you can do that anywhere you want. But our prayer partners are here if you have a prayer need right now. Let's sing this out.
It's not too late for you. Come away.
Receive healing. It's not too late. To receive blessing. It's not too late to receive prayer for understanding, for clarification.
With me.
During this season of Lent.
It's never too late.
As we prepare for Easter. And laying aside things in your life. For cleansing, for repentance, just for a greater walk with Him.
And let me
deepening your understanding for His love about you and to you. Of how much He loves you.
Open up your heart.
How He desires His closeness to you. Obedience is a factor, yes.
Open up your heart.
More than that, it's just the relationship He desires. The price He paid for you to get you to have that relationship.
Open up your heart.
And so He desires a blessing upon you and healing. And whether that's a restored relationship with a family member, with a friend, or with Him Himself. Today is that day to do that. To let it go. Drop it aside.
Open up your
to let it fall behind you.
And let me in.
It's been a while since we've met together. Today you may need healing. Today you may need any prayer. Or what
open
it may
up
be.
Your heart.
Don't put it aside. Come today as the band plays and you sing.
Gonna be great. It's gonna be full of me.
What a great time of fellowship this has been today after being gone the last couple weeks. I want to invite you to do a couple things. Think about this message today, because I know sometimes change isn't as easy as saying you need to change and saying, okay, you got it. I want you to think about this and think about areas that you can change and ask for forgiveness and forgive others. It's a difficult thing. It's a very difficult thing. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to meet. God, we know that you are a gracious God and you are full of mercy. And God, help us to understand when you answer our prayers, but your answer may be no or not now. Help us just understand that and accept that. God, would you make us hungry for your word, to read your word? God, would you just help make us reflections of your light? Allow us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with. God, help guide our words and our actions towards one another, our fellow believers and those that may not believe. Let it just be an example of you walking around on this earth. I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.